discuss over the next few weeks different ideas about Purim to hopefully get us more in the frame of mind of Purim. There's something unique about Purim Torah. It's designed for a different type of thinking. When the author of the Torah is inebriated and in a very high level, and there's something very powerful about Purim Torah in that sense. It's a heavenly Torah. So I've had the privilege of spending different Purim Su'udos with Rabbi Mordechai Silver, the Stachina Rebbe, and if ever there's a Yom Tov that's his, it's Purim. He's preparing for Purim for a month before, and the Toros that he says on Purim are just unbelievable Toros. So we'll start with one piece that he gave over it was 2004, Tavshin Samach Dalad, 5764, about 13 years ago. So we just read in last week's Parsha that Amalek, the Torah says that Amalek attacked us. What did he do? Parshas Ki Seti, the Torah says, Zachor Eis Asher Asalacha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you? Asher Karcha Baderech, that he met you on the road. So in Hebrew, we know that the vowelization of Baderech is actually a reference to the Hei HaYediyah, the definite article, that really it should be Behaderech. He attacked you on the road, with a capital T. So that becomes Asher Karcha Baderech, that he met you on the road, Baderech. The Hei becomes the Patach. So what road was this? Apparently it's such a distinctive road, it's the ultimate road. We were on the ultimate road. And on the ultimate road, Amalek attacked us. So what is the ultimate road? There are lots of roads. There are roads to Englewood, there are roads to New York, to Boston, to Los Angeles, to Houston. What is the road with a capital T? So my Rebbe said, there's a theme in the writings of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin and others, that if you really want to know the root of something, you have to look at the first place that it's mentioned in the Torah. Hashem looked in the Torah to create the world. So the first place something is mentioned in the Torah, that's the real essence, that's the purest form of a matter. So if we want to know what is the road, we have to look at the first road. What is the first time that the Torah says the word Derech? Now we find this not just in Hasidic works, we find this in a Gemara, in Masechet Bava Kamma. The Gemara says that if a person has a dream, and he sees the letter Tes in his dream, the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that's a sign that good things are coming. Because the letter Tes is the beginning of the word Tov, good. So he must say, but it's the beginning of upsetting words also, like Tavu Ba'aret She'areha, her gates of Jerusalem sank into the earth. That also begins with the letter Tes. So Gemara says, no, but the first time the letter Tes heads up a word, it's that God saw what he made, he made Tov, and it was good. So the essence of the letter Tes is in the first time we have the letter Tes, and the first time we have the letter Tes is Tov, is good. So Tes is the letter of good. So you see that the Gemara is saying, if you really want to know something, look at the first time it appears in the Torah. The first time Tes appears in the Torah is Tov, is good. So that means Tes is a symbol of Tov. So here Amalek attacks us baderech, on the road. So what is the derech? What is the road? We have to look at the first road that ever appears in the Torah. The first road that appears in the Torah, which must be the root of all the roads come from this road, is the road to Gan Eden, the road to the Eitz HaChayim. When Adam was created, placed in the Garden of Eden, was told one mitzvah, not to eat from the tree of knowledge. Unfortunately, he violated that mitzvah. He ate from the tree of knowledge. God then banished him from Gan Eden, and God put an angel with a revolving blade, with La Tacherev HaMisapeches, Lishmar et derech etz hachayim. So guard the path to the tree of life. That's the first derech. The first road, the first path, is the path or the road to the tree of life. That's the road. Now Amalek attacked us on the road. That means Amalek attacked us when we were on our way to the Eitz HaChayim. We were on our way to the tree of life, and that's when Amalek attacked us. Amalek tried to stop us from getting to the Eitz HaChayim. And that's why, if we think about it, when we arrive at the destination, then we are at the Eitz HaChayim. We're back in Gan Eden. We are at the Tree of Life. We're at a state of dveikus, of attachment with Hashem and real deep connection to Hashem. And when we connect to Hashem very, very deeply, Amalek can't exist because his whole road is to be, his whole job is Asher Karcha Baderech. He's trying to stop you on the road to the Eitz HaChayim. But if you got to the Eitz HaChayim, then Amalek is gone. And that's what the Torah says, Vayab Bahaniach. And it will be when Hashem will give you rest. Mikol Eivecha Misaviv, from all your enemies. Timches Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim. Eradicate the vestige of Amalek from underneath the heavens. When you have Menucha, when you have rest, when you're no longer traveling on the road, you've arrived at the road, at the destination. At that point, Amalek is gone. So again, the Torah says about Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech, he attacked you on the road. What is the road with the definite article before it? The first road. And what is the first road? Is Derech Eitz HaChayim, the road to the tree of life. That's what you find in the last week's Parsha. The Jewish people are traveling to Har Sinai. Now the Gemara says that when we got to Har Sinai and we heard God speak to us in this week's Parsha, Paskazu Amasan, we lost the filth. When we ate from the tree of knowledge, the serpent lowered us spiritually, and the filth of the serpent entered into us. But when we were at Har Sinai, and God revealed himself, and it was a tremendous revelation, we lost all of that filth, because we were back in Gan Eden, we were back in the state of Menucha, the state of rest. And Amalek is the one who's trying to stop us from getting to the Eitz HaChayim, to stop us from getting to Gan Eden, to stop us from attaching to Hashem, to stop us from learning Torah and absorbing the Torah. So we have the road, the path, where it's going to. What's the name of the person who goes off the path? What's the name of the Torah for the person who strays? The Sota.
Oh.
The very word Sota means a woman who strayed. She went off road. She was on the road, and she went off road. So where did she go off road? The Sota goes off-road because she has a wrong definition of what's life. And the wrong definition of what's a good life. A good life is to be at Har Sinai, to be filled with faith in Hashem, to be attached to Hashem, to be in Gan Eden. That's the good life. The Sota convinces herself that the good life is physical excitement, pleasure. So she strays off of the real path. She's not on the Derech Eitz HaChayim. She moved off of the Derech Eitz HaChayim. She creates for herself a new idea of what is Chayim, what is life, what is pleasure, what is good. And she ends up being a Sota. That's why we find that there's a lot of connection between Sota and being thrown out of Gan Eden. The Torah says that after Adam and Chava ate from the Tree of Knowledge, Vayigarshehu migan Eden. Vayigarshei was the same words as gerushin, as a divorce. God divorced Adam from Gan Eden. Why did he divorce Adam? Because what Adam did was that he became a Sota. Instead of going to the Eitz HaChayim, he went to the Eitz HaDaas. Instead of going to the real life, the life of Gan Eden, he went to the momentary physical pleasures of Nechmada Eitz Lamare, the tree looks appealing, the Tov L'Haskil, it's going to help me understand, the Yisam Kelohim, I'm going to be like God, I'm going to be the master. He strayed. Beishamai, the very last mission of Masechet Gittin, say that a husband's never allowed to divorce his wife. When can he divorce his wife? In Matzah Ba'er Vastavar, if she's a Sota. If his wife is disloyal and she's straying off the path, then he can divorce her. Because Sota is connected to Gerushin. Just like Adam Arishon Bazusota, when he ate from the tree of knowledge instead of from the tree of life, and Vayigarshehu, God divorced him, God threw him out. Because he didn't accept, and he didn't connect, he didn't stay attached to the true life, to Gan Eden. So, how does the Sota get fixed? So the Sota is the woman who wasn't loyal to her husband, and she's very, very friendly with another man, and she secludes herself with this other man. The husband warns her in front of witnesses that he doesn't like it, he's upset, he's jealous, she shouldn't be alone. And she does it, and she secludes herself with this man a long time to something could have happened. So she has to come to the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan, and she has to bring an offering of barley, and an oath is imposed upon her. If you strayed and were not loyal to your husband, your stomach will blow up and you're going to die. And if you were loyal to your husband and you're just being falsely accused and falsely suspected, these waters that enter into you, instead of causing you to die, are going to cause you to be blessed. That's what happens to the Sota. And the woman says, Amen, Amen. She says Amen twice. So she gets fixed from her behavior through an oath, and the ultimate apex of this oath is her declaration of Amen. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol ha'ona Amen, if you say Amen, the gates of Gan Eden open to you. The Sota, her whole problem was that she redefined Gan Eden. She strayed off the path leading to Gan Eden. When she says Amen, the gates of Gan Eden open, she goes back into Gan Eden. And by going back into Gan Eden, she gets fixed. So what does it mean that by saying Amen, she fixes the sin of Sota? The depth here is that Amen is really, she's accepting an oath. The oath is said by the Kohen who administers the oath to her. And when she says Amen, she is vowing. The Ramban writes in Parshas Matos that the meaning of a shvua, the meaning of an oath, is that it is a person attaching their words to the very life of the King of all kings. Nishba b'chayei ha-melech. When a person is swearing, he's saying, just as the King of all kings, Hashem, is alive and true, these words are true. So that's how the Sota gets away from her sins. She strayed away from Gan Eden. She moved off the path that leads to the Tree of Life. She takes an oath. She says, it's true that I'm innocent. And what makes it true? That I'm attaching myself to the life of the King of Kings. So she feels the life of the King of Kings because she just connected to it. She just invoked it. She just made a promise by it. Once she feels the life of the King of Kings, once she feels what real life is, then she has fixed her sin. She's gotten back to the path to Gan Eden, to being attached to Hashem. We have a mitzvah to walk on a path 3 times a year. That's the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So we can say that if the ultimate path is the path to Gan Eden, the mitzvah of going to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos is the mitzvah to walk on the path to the Tree of Life. Because what is the Beis HaMikdash? It's the home that houses the object of holiness. What is the object of greatest holiness in this world? The Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark. What is the Ark? The Ark is a box of wood. The wood of the Ark is the Eitz HaChaim, it's the Tree of Life. Now what does the Ark hold inside of it? It has the Luchos of this week's Parsha, which are the summary of the entire Torah, of the Ten Commandments, with Hashem's own writing on the chiseled into the stone, the mitzvah to walk, go to Yerushalayim 3 times a year, is a mitzvah to walk on the real derech, to walk on the derech Eitz HaChaim, to walk towards the Tree of Life, and to connect somewhat to the Tree of Life. When a Jew would come into the Beis HaMikdash, he would understand what is life. Life's not about, you know, physical power, honor, pleasure, publicity, money, relaxation. That's not the good life. The good life is the Beis HaMikdash. The good life is attachment with Hashem. The good life is to experience God, to be connected with God, to be obsessed with God. The mitzvah, the only mitzvah in the Torah of walking, is the mitzvah to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah doesn't have a mitzvah to walk to Shiloh or to walk to Tel Aviv. There's a mitzvah to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. Because we have to walk to the Deres Eitz HaChaim. The truth is, all the other mitzvahs you can do at home. Almost all the others. You can do almost all every mitzvah at home. But this is the mitzvah that we have to walk. Because the walk towards the Tree of Life that teaches us about all the other paths and what path we should take. The path that takes us to the Tree of Life. When we walk to the Beis HaMikdash, we are reversing the decree. After Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, vayigarshehu, God divorced him. He strayed off the path. God threw him out. When we walk back to the Beis HaMikdash, we're reversing that decree, and we're walking to Gan Eden. We're going back to the Tree of Life. Now, when do we actually prepare the roads? The Mishnah says in Shkalim that we prepare the roads 30 days before Yom Tov. So what's 30 days before Pesach? Purim. Purim is the day when we start preparing the roads to be Ola Rega. Because on Purim, Haman was killed. When we wipe out Amalek, when we get rid of that which is stopping us, Asher Karcha Baderach, the one who attacks us on the road, who doesn't let us get to the Tree of Life, when we get rid of Haman, now we've prepared the road to walk all the way up to the Beis HaMikdash and to get back into Gan Eden. We find a very interesting thing in the Gemara. In the Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Megillah, the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph starts to talk about Megillas Esther. And it has a list of, I don't know, maybe 15 different Amoraim. When they would begin Megillas Esther, Pasachla Pischala Hai Parshasa. They would begin, they would open up this subject by first interpreting a verse. The verse says in Yeshayahu and Isaiah, Tachas Hanatzutz, Yaleb Rosh, Vitachas Hasirpad, Yaleh Hadas, Vayel Hashem L'Shem, L'Os Olam Lo Yikares. Instead of the na'atzutz, the brosh tree will grow. Instead of the sirpad, the hadas, it'll be for God a name, an eternal sign. It'll never break. So the Gemara says, what's that a reference to? Tachas ha-na'atzutz, instead of Haman, who angered God, Yala brosh will rise Mordechai. Instead of the sirpad, instead of Vashti, who misused the objects of the Beis HaMikdash, Yale Adas, Adasa, Esther will rise. Vayel Hashem L'Shem, this will be God's name, the reading of Megillah. L'Osolam Lo Yikares, it'll never be forgotten. We'll always read Megillah, we'll always celebrate the days of Purim. Then the next Amora said, well, the story of Purim is about the following pasuk. Well, why do they take all these different psukim from different Nevi'im and say, this is the introduction. Just tell us, Megillas Esther, Vayibi Me'achashverosh. You have to open up the story, open up the discussion. Why are they opening up the discussions? Because they're opening up the path to Gan Eden. There's so many doors locking the way to Gan Eden. And each Amora with his pasuk was opening up a door. Because the whole idea of Purim is to walk to Gan Eden. It's to start on the path to get to Gan Eden. We get to Gan Eden on Pesach when we're in the Beis HaMikdash, when we're Ola Rega. And Purim is 30 days before, when the Beis Din starts clearing the roads to get back to Gan Eden. Another place where we have a great path, so we have the path to Gan Eden, the path to the Beis HaMikdash. Another place where we have a great path is the path through the Yam Suf. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hanosein Bayam Darach, God put the path in the middle of the sea. It was a sea. And then God put a path there. So if we've been saying that the ultimate path, the source of all the paths, is the path to Gan Eden, the path to the tree of life. That's the road. So God put a road in the Yam Suf. That means God put the road to Gan Eden, the road to the tree of life, in the Yam Suf, when we walk through the Yam Suf. So how do we end the Shira Sayam? Tivyemo, you will bring him, the Sita Emo, and you will plant him, Bahar Nachlascha, on the mountain of your inheritance. You're going to bring him into the Beis HaMikdash. That as the Jewish people are walking through the Yam Suf, they're really on the road to the Beis HaMikdash. We have in Shira Sayam, Hinei Mitzrayim Nosea Achrehem. And behold, Egypt was traveling, pursuing us into the sea. The first letters of Mitzrayim Nosea Achrehem spell the word Amen. Because through Amen, a person swears. When a person swears, he's connecting to the life of God. Just as God is alive, these words are true. When we connect to the life of God, we get away from being a sota. We get back on the path to the tree of life, the path of Tivyemo v'sitzeimo bahar nachlascha. You're bringing him and setting him on your holy mountain, machol neshiftecha, the place where you reside. We walked through the river. In Tehillim, the pasuk says, Tehillim chapter 66, ubenahar yavru baragel. Through the river they walked by foot. But Baragel is also through the festivals. We had the festivals, because the whole idea of the festivals is to walk up back to Gan Eden, back to the Beis HaMikdash. When we walked through the Yam Suf, we felt that it was Pesach, we felt it was Shavuos, we felt it was Sukkos in the Beis HaMikdash with the Aron HaKodesh. And in fact, we felt that we were on our way to Gan Eden. The word for a festival in Hebrew is regel. Regel in Gematria is 223. That's the same in Gematria as the word Eitz HaChaim, tree of life. Eitz in Gematria is 160. Chaim in Gematria is 68. That's 128. And the hay is 228, and the hay is another 5, so it's 233. Regel equals Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life. They both equal 233. Because when we were experiencing B'Nahar Yavru B'Ragel, through the river, we're walking by foot and experiencing the Regel, experiencing the holidays, we were experiencing the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life of 233. So now, the whole idea of Esther is really the idea of a sota. Because according to the Gemara, Esther was married to Mordechai. See, here's a woman who's married to one man, and yet she's with another man. She's with Achashverosh. So it seems like a straying wife. But the truth is, she wasn't a straying wife. Because it was out of her control. She was forced. She was an ones. She didn't have a choice. Her life was in danger. The Gemara says, a woman whose life is in danger, since karka olam, a woman is not active like a man would be, it's allowed. So, says Rav Huttner, the Torah says in Parshas Naso, the mitzvah of sota, and right afterwards, the mitzvah of nazir. So the Gemara says, why? Because what should inspire a nazir? A nazir is a person who promises not to drink wine, not to cut his hair, not to go into a cemetery. What should inspire him is seeing the sota. When he sees the disgrace of the sota, how her braids are undone and her clothing is torn and she's humiliated because of her behavior, that wine led to that behavior. So haroes sota bikilkula yazir asmana yain. When he sees a sota and all of her harm, he should deny wine of himself. Says Rav Huttner, if when you see the ruin of a sota, you stay away from wine, when you see the fixing of a sota, you have to drink wine. Esther looked like a sota, but it was a fixing of a sota. because it was out of her control, and it was to save the whole Jewish nation. So when we see the story of Esther, our reaction is to drink wine. When we drink wine, it's the fixing of the whole idea of Sota. Because on Purim, we're on the road to the Eitz HaChaim. We got rid of Amalek, Haman was hung, we've prepared the paths to get back to Yerushalayim on Pesach, a month ahead. So once we're on the road to the Eitz HaChaim, we're the opposite of a Sota. We know what real life is. We know what we have to pursue. And we are pursuing Hashem. So what's another name for Esther? Esther has another name called Hadassah. Now the Hadassim have to be Meshulashim. For the Hadas to be kosher, it needs three leaves on every level. Why three leaves? Because Esther is about the three regalim, the three festivals. So you have to have three leaves on every level. And we know that the different parts of the four species correspond to the different parts of the body. The lulav corresponds to the spine, the esrog to the heart, the aravos to the lips, and the hadassim correspond to the eyes. Because during the three festivals, there's a mitzvah of re'iyah, the mitzvah to see the Beis HaMikdash. Shalosh pam vashana yeroya kol zechurcha. Three times a year, all of your males should be seen and should see as Pnei Adon Hashem, the face of the Master Hashem. So since Esther is the fixing of Sota, that's why Esther causes us to drink wine, and Esther brings us back to the Tree of Life. Now, why do we have three festivals? Why not four or five festivals? We have three festivals because we had three fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, we know, tells Sarah to bake matzos, he's Pesach. Yitzchak is the attribute of strength, and the Gemara says the Torah was given from Gvura, from strength. And Yaakov built a place called Sukkos. Yaakov is the source of Sukkos. The three forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, taught us what is life. They knew what was life. They lived in Gan Eden. They were attached to real life. So we find an amazing thing. Avraham in Gematria is 248. Yitzchak in Gematria is 208. 208 together with 248 is 456. 456 is the same. It's the same gematria as 2 times
233.
466.
No, it doesn't.
228.
1 second. Yitzchak. 456. Yitzchak, that's right. Yitzchak is 208. And Avraham is... 1 second. Avraham is 248. Avraham's 248. Together with Yitzchak, who is 208. So 248 plus 208 is 256.
400.
I'm sorry, 456.
Right, so half is
228. Half is 228, right. Half is 228, correct. So now if you take the gematria of the word, not Eitz HaChaim, Eitz Chaim, Eitz Chaim, Tree of Life. Take the hay out. Eitz Chaim, right? So Eitz Chaim, Eitz is 160, plus Chaim is 68. So 160 plus 68 is 228. 228 times 2 is 456. So Avram, Yitzchak together is the same as Eitz Chaim times 2. It's also the same as the word Baruch, blessed, times 2, because Baruch is 228. So Baruch times 2 is 456. Now Yaakov, so the Avos, they say Baruch. Avram says a bracha, Yitzchak says a bracha, and Yaakov, he says Amen. So 2 times Amen. Amen is 91. 2 times 91 is 182. 182 equals Yaakov. Avram says Baruch. Yitzchak says Baruch. Yaakov says Amen to Avram's bracha. He says Amen to Yitzchak's bracha. And that's where you have Yaakov.
But if you take the Abraham, the hey out of him, Avram with the batches.
Avram.
Take the hey out,
right,
which we just counted out.
Right. And we took it out of Eitz Chaim.
Yeah.
So now, Yaakov, we're saying, is the one who says Amen twice. That's why his name equals Amen twice, because he's saying Amen to Avram's bracha and Amen to Yitzchak's bracha. We're saying Yaakov, Amen, is what opens up Gan Eden. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. Anyone who says Amen, he's opened up Gan Eden. So Yaakov in Gematria is 182, which is the same in Gematria as Gan Ha'eden. Put the hey in. Gan Ha'eden. Because Gan is 53. Eden is 124. Ha'eden is 129. So 53 plus 129 equals 182.
Brilliant.
So if we say Amen, we go back to Gan Ha'eden. Yaakov equals Gan Ha'eden. Now, there's some people who don't say Amen the right way. Halach is, if let's say there's a bracha and a person waits a minute, then he says Amen, he's not supposed to say Amen. So what's that Amen called? That's called an Amen Yesoma, an orphaned Amen, because he's now become orphaned from Avram and Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak together are the two brachos, but if it doesn't have the right Amen, he's an orphan, he's not attached to his parents. Esther was an orphan. She was an orphan. She was the fixing of Sota. She fixed the whole idea of being straight, of straying off the path. And so the pasuk says, "Vayihi omein es hadasa." He was raising hadasa. It's spelled without a vav, with the word amein. Ki ein la avaim, even though she didn't have a father and a mother. So you think she's an orphan, she's disconnected from her parents. You think she's a sota, she's straying off the path. But really, vayhi omein, she had Mordechai, she had the amein. She opened up the path to Gan Eden. She did have the parents, she's Hadassah. Vayhi omein es Hadassah. The amein is there with Hadassah. She's Hadassah, she's the Hadassin of the three leaves, of the three avos, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Eima avaim. She seems not to have a father and mother, but really she's Hadassah. She has Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkah. She has the three avos. So let's go even deeper. How Hadassim is the antidote to Sota. Pasuk says in Mishle that the disloyal woman, Ragleha yordos maves, her legs descend into death. So that's a reference to the Nachash, because the snake, the source of evil, was given the role of biting the legs of man and pulling man down. Where did Amalek attack? Amalek attacked those who were outside of the camp, those who were all the way on the bottom, those who are like the legs. Now, the Hadassim have the power to give strength to those who are weak. The idea, perhaps, of the Hadassim, to smell the Hadassim, Ramak writes, is that the idea of smell is that you pull something out, you pull it up. You pull out a vapor and you pull it up deep in your nostrils. It's to pull up the sparks from the physical world. And that's the great power of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be a person with an enormous ability of smell. The pasuk says, "Vehiricho biyiras Elokim." Lulamare Einav Yishpot. He's not going to judge based on what he sees with his eyes. He's going to have the smell of Yirat Shamayim. We find that Esav was deep in the physical world. Deep in the physical world. And yet, when he comes into Yitzchak, the Pasuk says, Vayarach es reach begadav. And he smelled the smell of his garments. And the Medrash says, Reach begadav is reach bogdav, the smell of the rebels. That Yitzchak could smell in the rebels. He could smell a smell that's holy. He could find the spark that's good deep within the physical world. And it was actually Yaakov who came in wearing the garments of Esav. And when Yaakov came in, Yitzchak said, I smell the smell of Gan Eden. Re'ei Reach Beni, see the smell of my son. K'reach Sadeh Asher Bircho Hashem, like the smell of the garden, of the field that God has blessed. Why? Because we said that Yaakov is Amen Amen. And Amen opens up Gan Eden. So Vayehi Amen Es Hadassah. Mordechai gave the Amen to Hadassah. In other words, that she had the smell of Gan Eden. That there's this little point of Yaakov, the point of truth, even within the physical world. And that's the great, great power. Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that when Shimon ben Yochai was in the cave, so he became a very heavenly person. When he came out of the cave, he couldn't understand how people were involved in the matters of this world and not immersed only in the matters of the next world. And so he would look around and there'd be a disaster, whatever he looked at. So Hashem sent him back into the cave for another 12 months. When he came out, when Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would see things, it would be a disaster. But when Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai would see things, it would be restored. And then the Gemara says that they saw a man running. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm running with two hadassim to go into Shabbos. One hadas for Zachar and one hadas for Shamar. Because if you want to fix the physical world and not destroy the physical world, you do it with the power of hadas and with the power of smell. You find the sparks of godliness that are deep within the physical world. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai comes out of the cave, he can't stand the physicality of the physical world. But when he sees a person running with two hadassim, and that person to honor Shabbos has two hadassim, he's smelling to honor Shabbos, he's finding the sparks in the physical. He said, wow, now this is a physical world that's okay. The two hadassim are the two witnesses. One witness to say that the heavens are from Hashem, one witness to say that the earth is from Hashem. Because the hadassim are the eyes, and you have two eyes. One eye is to look at the heavens and to see Hashem in the heavens, and the other eye is to look at the earth and see Hashem in the earth too. Now, Torah is Eitz Chayim, Hi Lamachazikim Ba. It's the tree of life to those who hold on to it. The Sefer Torah is mounted on pieces of wood. We learned in Baba Basra. The Torah scroll has two pillars of wood. And every other scroll, like a Megillas Esther, is supposed to have only one pillar of wood. The two Eitzei Chayim, when you get an Aliyah, when you read from the Torah, you should hold on to both of them. Because when you have two Eitz Chayim, you have Avram and Yitzchak. You're holding on to Avram and Yitzchak, which is the same gematria as two times Eitz Chayim. And that's why you make two brachos on the Torah. You make a bracha when you open the Torah, and you make a bracha when you close the Torah. Because Baruch times 2 is also 456, which is 2 times Eitz Chaim. The Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, is the source of all the bracha. In Megillas Esther, though, there's only one Eitz Chaim. In Megillas Esther, there's really only one bracha. There's a bracha before the Megillah. But after the Megillah, the bracha that we say is really about the miracle, not about Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, the idea is like this. When it comes to the Torah, we have to hold on to it with both hands. The Pasuk says about the Torah, Vagisa bo yomam v'layla, meditate in the Torah day and night. So all the time we have to hold on to the Torah, during the daytime and during the nighttime. Now the word for hand in Hebrew is Yad. Yad in Gematria is 14. In Koheles, the beginning of chapter 3, Shlomo HaMelech lists 14 times of good things. Eis Rekod, a time to dance. Eis Laledes, a time to give birth. And 14 times of bad things. Eis Svod, a time for eulogies. Eis La'akor Natua, a time to uproot. Because there's the Yad, the 14 of good, the Yad Yumin, and the 14 of difficulty, the Yad Small. There's day, and there's night. But our job is that both during the day and during the night, we have to hold on to Hashem. So with both hands, we hold on to the Atzei Chaim, to the trees of life, to the two pillars of the Torah. With both a Yad Gedola, a strong hand, and a Yad Chazaka, and a big hand and a strong hand. And the ultimate goal is that these two hands should merge to become an elevated hand, a Yad Rama, a hand held high. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was fighting Amalek, he lifted up both hands, the right hand and the left hand. And they eventually become one hand. In fact, Aharon and Hur in Gematria is 470, the word ace, a time. Aharon held the right hand, the 14 times of chesed. Hur held the left hand, the 14 times of judgment. We're holding on to both Atzei Chaim, both trees of life. Holding on with both hands until both hands become one big hand. The Yad Rama, the great hand. And then we overcome Amalek. Amalek in Gematria is two times the word Amud. Amalek is all sorts of doubts. Amalek in Gematria is Suffolk, doubt. Maybe this way, maybe that way. Maybe Beis Hillel, who are on the right. Maybe Beis Shammai, who are on the left. When you hold on with both hands tight, eventually you realize there's no real argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They're all serving Hashem. They all become one. You get rid of Amalek. With Megillas Esther, you get rid of Amalek. Megillas Esther only has one hand. There's only one pillar to the Megillas Esther. When you think about the Aron HaKodesh, the Aron HaKodesh, according to Rashi, was three boxes. A box of gold, a box of wood, and a box of gold. The word Zahav equals 14, Yad. There's a hand of gold, there's one hand, Zahav, Yad. Zahav, another Yad. And both are holding on to the tree of life that's in the middle. They're both holding on to the Eitz Chaim. And then you have a kapores, a cover. And the kapores, you have a kruv and a kruv. Kruv echad mizeh, kruv echad mizeh. One kruv on one side, one kruv on the other side. Kruv is the letters baruch. You have one baruch, and you have another baruch. Baruch equals Eitz Chaim, tree of life. Two times kruv, two baruchs, two times Eitz Chaim. Because when you're holding on to the tree of life, we hold on to both Atzei Chaim. And the goal is to hold on to it so tight that the two hands become one hand. It's not that I'm holding on to God in good times and in bad times, I'm just holding on to God, period. It's all God, it's all Him. It's all kruv echad. Kruv echad, one kruv, equals in Gematria Amalek. Two times mikatzeh, from the edge, equals ace, a special time. Mizeh is five. So we hold on to Hashem. Mizeh umizeh, Aaron and Hur, which in Gematria is ace. So the two hands are holding on to the Atzei Chaim, the trees of life of the Sefer Torah. Because normally the hands, they want to hold things that are tangible. They want to hold physical things. And on Purim, there's a new Eitz, a new tree. There's the tree of Haman, 50 amos tall. He thought with this tree he was going to hang Mordechai. But instead, when he had to put up the 50 amos tall tree, the tree of life was revealed. It was revealed that Hashem is in charge, and everything that Haman does is really to help the Jews. It's all Hashem running the whole thing. We could mamish hold on to holiness with our own hands. We could hold on to the tree of life and walk out from death to life. From the two hands, it became one big tree, one eitz, the eitz of the Megillah. The spirituality literally became physical. Normally, the hands are the Yadayim Yidei Esav, the hands of Esav. The physicality of this world is Esav. You don't normally get drunk to serve Hashem. But on Purim, the two hands become absolutely one. There's only one pillar of the Megillah. It's all one. It's the absolute revelation of godliness. Even into the physical, it's all godly. We hold on to Hashem. And we realize that we're going out. We're going out from exile. We're on our way back to the Eitz HaChaim, to the Tree of Life. We get rid of Amalek. That's what Purim's all about.
Amen. So. Thank you. Absolutely.